Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra. We're continuing through this series, and we're learning this wonderful book as they are in a period I often call the restoration, where they're being restored back to the land. They're rebuilding the temple. They're going to rebuild the wall. They're going to reestablish Jerusalem, reestablish worship. And in this, we could see principles of preparing for the coming revival, seeing these little principles that God has placed in this. We now turn to Ezra chapter number 6. Ezra in chapter number 6, and we continue to learn several of these principles in the book of Ezra, in Ezra chapter 6. As we start off, let's begin, if you don't mind, in verse number 13. Ezra chapter 6 and verse number 13. Then Tantida, governor on this side of the river, Shethor Bosnia, and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it, according to the commandment of God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which is in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. Now, if you don't mind, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in Ezra chapter 6? Ezra chapter 6, and notice with me in verse number 15, the house was finished. The house was finished. And with this, we're going to see a principle here that God's people finish to start. You may think that's backwards, but it is not. God's people from finish to start. Now, as we've been working through this series, we've been finding that there's several principles that we've been pulling. First of all, that God works through a remnant. That God doesn't work through the masses. He works through a small group of people who get thoroughly right with God and set themselves apart for God's use. This is preparing for that revival. And that as they prepare for the revival, God gives them things to do, and that he sends preachers to help encourage people. We've also hit the idea of motive, that the correct motive has to be God. And it can't be because a preacher told us so. It can't be because of this. In fact, we see that exact principle right here in verse number 14. Ezra chapter 6 and verse number 14. Notice this. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying or preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it, according to the commandment of God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes on the king of Persia. So notice, it begins with they finished it according to the commandment of God. It wasn't because of the commandment of Artaxerxes or Darius or anyone else. It wasn't a commandment of men. They understood that this is something God had given them to do. That if we're going to prepare for the coming revival, we have to understand that whereas men may direct us, we have to go and find this is what God has given us to do, and do it because God has given us this task. Doing it with the right motive. This changes everything. Why should I teach a Sunday school class? Because this is what God gave us to do. But I thought Pastor told you to do this. Yes, Pastor directed me, but it was God that was directing me to do this. Why do we go soul winning? Well, it's not because pastor's making me. It's because this is what God has given me to do. Why do I do the nursery? It's not because pastor told me to. It's because this is what God has given me to do. Why am I scrubbing toilets? Because this is my week? No, it's because God has given me to do this. Our motive has to be the Lord. If we're going to prepare for the coming revival, if we're going to allow the work to continue, we have to have the right motive. Now, with this, compare verse 14 to verse number 22. Ezra 16:22, and they kept the feast of unleavened bread with 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and turned the king of the heart of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. What we see is that God was behind it, and they were being obedient and had the joy of the Lord because it came from God. God directed it. Our motive has to be correct. What is the motive? Pleasing the Lord. That should be our highest motive. That it's obedience because this is what he has given us to do. Now remember, God leads us through biblical authority. But it is God that's doing the leading. We have to look beyond just the physical and see that God is doing this. And that, remember that obeying God is not just simply doing the task, but it's delighting in his will. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You'll see that as a phrase in the book of Nehemiah. But we see here, it says that they kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful. Why did it make them joyful? Because they were doing it for the Lord. The joy of the Lord became their strength. They were able to finish the task because they had the right motive. It has to be about God. So as we prepare for the upcoming revival, that we know that it's not a lot of people, but a few people who get thoroughly right with God. That they obey the biblical authority through the preaching, understand preaching, and people direct them. And as they direct them, they understood that God is behind it all. And I'm doing it because this is what God has given me to do. Not just because I was asked to do it, but we recognize that God put me in this position. God gave me this task. And we take it seriously. As we take it seriously and have the right motive, God gives us a joy to continue the task and work through the task regardless of the obstacles. Then we rejoice as the task is completed. Now, all that was kind of review, preparing for our next idea here, is what God is trying to do, that we actually go from finish to start. Notice, if you don't mind, we come to this principle of the finished temple. The finished temple. We do not finish something just to finish it. We finish it in order to start something else. So think about them. They are rebuilding the temple. Why? Because they want a museum piece. They want people to, oh, look and see what we built. They built it to use it. Amen. Now that it's built, they can go and have the services and the worship and continue on with the things God asked them to do now that it is finished. Oftentimes, we get in our mind that certain goals become our finishing mark. But our certain goals is not our finish. It's our start. May I give a couple of examples? Some people work really hard to get a degree. Maybe they get a bachelor's, maybe they get a master's, maybe they strive for something else. But that's not the goal. You don't say, well, I'm going to go finish my master's. Now that I finish this off, oh, I could do nothing the rest of my life. Amen. Why did you get it? To use it. To start something else. I got educated. I got these things so I could do something else. We finish that task in order to start something else. That the finishing it is not the goal. The finishing helps us to start our new phase, our new goal, our new purpose. Does it make sense? Why do some young girls, I got one now, that are dreaming about marriage? They may not even know who the guy is, but, oh, I can't wait to get married. I'm looking forward to it. The big day, everything goes up, dum, dum, da, dum. They go up there. He says, wilt thou, she wilts, wilt thou, I wilt, and they wilt together. And yay, they're married. Woohoo, I reached my goal. I'm good. No, it's a brand new start after that. The goal wasn't just to get married. Now you've started a brand new phase of life. Now you learn about each other and go through that growing phase. And by the way, marriage, you don't stop learning. Amen. There's always things to discover, always things to learn. I didn't know that. I've been married to you forever, and I didn't know that. Well, you know, there's a new thing. You're continuing to move forward. You don't reach a place where, like, okay, we're good. All right. No, it's continuing to move forward. The Christian life is the same way. The Christian life is a series of new beginnings. That when you get saved, it's not like, all right, I reached that goal. But no, you got saved for a purpose. Now you get a brand new start.
Amen.
We actually had a family once we had worked with for years and loved on them and tried to work with them. Finally, they got saved and legitimately got saved. They got biblically baptized. And then after that, they didn't go to show up to church. And of course, we followed up with them and tried, where were you been at? I mean, you were excited. You got saved. Oh, we got saved. We know we're going to heaven. We figured we're good. You missed the point. Being saved is great, but that's not the end goal.
Amen.
You got a brand new life after this. You didn't just come to church until you got fire insurance. Now that you got saved, there's something more for you out there. You continue going on. That all of life, we go from finish to start. Now that you finish this, now you reach this plateau, this next marker, it helps you to start something else. That we're not trying to reach the finish goals. Why are you trying to finish? And we do this, and it becomes a danger. Do you know that for people who worked a career, that when they retire, a lot of people in certain careers will die within 3 years of them retiring? Police officers are one of those. A lot of times police officers will die within 3 years of them retiring. Why? They reached their goal. Now they have no purpose. Legend says, I think, if it was right, it was Tom Landry of the head coach of Texas, I think that was right, that once he retired, it was either him or Lombardi, that once he retired or they forced him out, 3 years and he was dead, no purpose. I don't remember which one. I'm going off the top of my head. I'll have to research which one again. But that happens. We don't go from start to finish. We go from finish to start. Now that we reach this goal, what do we now? All right, so my goal is retirement. What's my goal after that? Now that I'm retired, what do I have to look forward to? Now that I graduate high school, what's my goal? What am I trying to accomplish? There should be something. Now that I'm married, woohoo, I got him. Now what? Now you got to keep him.
Amen.
You know, we have this. Now that I got a master's degree, what do I do with it? That this is the whole life, and we've got to understand this mindset. Now that we finished a task, what's our next task? What's our next goal? Mothers do this too. All of my life, I raise my kids. When my kids leave, what purpose do I have now? There should be a purpose. What is my goal now? What's my new phase of life? I finished this so I could start something else. What is my purpose? What is my goal? We notice this is a Bible principle. Let's look at a couple passages, if you don't mind. Look with me in 2 Peter. Second Peter and chapter number 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Notice with me in verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 1. I'll let everybody there. I love hearing rustling of the pages. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So we've obtained like precious faith. Notice as we go on. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. So how does grace and peace be multiplied? Through the knowledge of God. That means that we're continuing to grow. According to his divine power that hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and knowledge. We're still building this knowledge. Notice with me in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So we start off with faith. We get saved. We're supposed to add something to it, virtue. Virtue carries the idea of character or integrity. Add to that virtue, knowledge. So we start with integrity and then add to it knowledge. We add to that knowledge temperance, this idea of self-control, but it's beyond self-control. It's carrying the idea that there are things I say no to, even though I can, in order to obtain what I want. So there are certain things I choose not to participate in order to go further. Add to my knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience. Notice patience is towards the end of it, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. Notice it just stacks on each other. So you don't say, woohoo, I received salvation, I'm good. No, you got to add to it integrity. Okay, now that I have integrity, I'm good. No, you got to add to it knowledge. Well, now I know some things. What do? You add to that knowledge temperance. Okay, now that I'm starting to be temperate, what do? Add patience. Okay, now that I have patience, what do I have? Oh, brotherly kindness. Now that I have brotherly kindness, we keep building on. These are a series of new beginnings. We go from finish to start. We continue to go on that we don't reach these goals and then stop. We reach these goals so we can continue on, moving forward, going to the next goal, going to the next thing that God has given us to do. In fact, notice 2 Peter chapter 3, since we're here. The idea is now that we get saved, well, now I'm good. No, we build upon that. 2 Peter chapter 3, notice the very last verse, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this. We're supposed to grow in grace. You just don't get saved, but you get the idea that I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward in the grace. I'm growing. And I'm growing in my knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we say this often, and this is why. It all begins with God. It all ends with God. God is the goal. That I will be stopping my goal when I know him perfectly. When am I going to know him perfectly? When I see him face to face. Until then, I'm going to continue to grow in my knowledge of him. That what is the Christian life? It's the never-ending pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not stopping anywhere. I'm moving forward. I may reach different goals to help me to know him more, but then I'm moving forward past that. If you don't mind, we also go back to the book of Ezra, chapter 8. And we also see this, that the picture of the Passover. So as soon as they finish building the temple, they then observe the Passover, Ezra chapter 6. And what they're doing is they're going through the Passover. Now that they have the temple, they could start offering the sacrifices. Remember, the big part of the Old Testament Passover was the sacrifice. Why was this so important? Because the Passover was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when we apply the blood, he will pass over you. That remember that in the Exodus that they had to apply the blood of the sheep upon the doorpost, and that when the avenging angel went bad and he saw the blood, that they would pass to the next door, that we have to have the blood applied. You see, right away, they had the picture of the Passover and remind them, now that we have the temple, what's the next thing? Start obeying God's command. What was God's command? To observe the Passover so they could point back up to Jesus. To remind people to look after him. That the remnant chose to obey God's command. They built the temple and the altar. Then they observed the Passover and they did it exactly like Moses told them to do in Exodus chapter 12. The sacrifice was made to God. That sacrifice was a lamb. And that lamb pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That it was again, now that we finished the temple, we finished the temple to use it. And of course, the temple and the sacrifice was made to point them up to Jesus right away to remind them about who he is, the never-ending pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a third thing, if you don't mind, the lesson we must remember. The lesson we must remember. We cannot have biblical faith without the shed blood of the Lamb. Remember that we're not saved by the blood of goats and bulls, but only by the blood of the Lamb, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Biblical faith is not just joining a church, participating activities, getting people to do things, rousing people to move forward for the Lord. that we come to God through the blood of the Lamb. And because of the blood of the Lamb, we're following after him because he gives us the strength. He gives us the desire. He moves us forward. And that any time that we need reviving, it comes back to the place where we return back to Jesus,
Amen.
Making him the goal,
Amen.
Making him the motive, following after him. And anytime we find ourselves cooling down, anytime we find ourselves less motivated, the answer is to go back to the cross and look at him. Go to the foot of the cross and see Jesus who shed his blood for us. Get remotivated, refired. When we see Jesus who died for us and what he did for us, it should stir us up that we want to live for him, that we want to obey, that we want to move forward. Why do I do what's right? Not because I have to, but because of what Jesus did for me. Why am I doing this service? Why am I doing this act? Why am I teaching this class? Because Jesus died for me. It's all about making him your motive, seeing how much he loved us, seeing how much he cared for us. When we do that, we don't have any reasonable argument of why we won't obey, why we won't serve God. How can you look at a Jesus who's dying for you and saying, well, not for me. No, thank you. When we see how much he loved us and how much he cared for us, we look at our petty motives as unreasonable. Our excuses unreasonable. The lesson that we must remember is that we keep him as our goal and motive. And as we do that, we keep moving forward. You may finish and accomplish something, but you finish it for the purpose of starting something else. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.